Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Mesut Ozil is in here. Beautiful goal. Walcott! What a goal! It's been flicked in by Alexis Sanchez. A quality goal from the Gunners.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of Monday, the 5th of December. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on this week's show, Emi Martinez talks about signing his new contract with the Gunners. Remember, a huge milestone for the club in our history lesson. Adrian Clarke is back at the chalkboard, but we kick off by looking back at the weekend's action with our Arsenal insider.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, the Gunners travelled to the London Stadium for the first time, and after Mesut Ozil had given them the lead, it really became the Alexis show, didn't it?
Arsenal will have to try something else. Xhaka and Mustafi involved, the short towards Alexis, gets away from Osaku, still going inside the penalty area, still going, it's the shot, finds the corner, all his own work! Brilliant stuff from Alexis Sanchez, turns his man, drives inside the penalty area and buries the shot into the corner. Arsenal have a second. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain over on the left-hand side, Alexis through the centre at the moment. Here is Mesut Ozil. Now it's with Xhaka, tries to knock it through, falls towards Alexis, gets the shot away, finds the corner! Another for Alexis, another for Arsenal. Well, this time, maybe Randolph could have done a little bit better. It was accurate, yes, it wasn't the most powerful strike, but it was enough to find the net once again. Yeah, goals is what's been lacking, really, from Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. Looks to play through towards Alexis, who's onside. Flag stays down. Alexis can complete the hat-trick here. Still going! Oh, and he finds the corner! Initially, it looked like he missed his kick, but he chips the keeper. Arsenal have a fifth. Alexis has a hat-trick, and the points, if they weren't before, are certainly heading back to the Emirates now.
That was a wonderful, wonderful little dummy from Alexis Sanchez's through-on goal. It looked like he'd missed it. Well, he certainly deceived Aaron Randolph in goal, but he knew exactly what he was doing and flicked the ball over him for a superb hat-trick. What a day for Alexis Sanchez. He laid the first one on the plate for Mesut Ozil and then a hat-trick in the second half. Fantastic performance, and these last 10 minutes, the game's absolutely come alive with goals.
Quite a brilliant hat-trick from Alexis, and I'm delighted to say that John Cross joins me now to take a little look back at that game and build ahead to what lies ahead. Crossy, always a pleasure and great to have you back on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thanks, Russ. Nice to be with you.
Alexis, absolutely stunning. What a display.
Yeah, it was absolutely fabulous, really. The debate must now sort of kind of start whether, who scored the best hat-trick in the history, really. It sort of revives wonderful memories of sort of great goal-scoring feats, Thierry Henry and Ian Wright. But I do feel that sort of Alexis Sanchez, the mix of goals was lovely, really. One of power. I think it also is obviously his approach by a cute little sort of chip as well, a little dink. So a nice variation of goals. Absolutely fantastic. That's a striker on top of his game. Weeks.
And how would you assess his whole season so far, John? He scored a lot of goals. He had one perhaps slightly barren spell, didn't he? But even then, the performance levels, the commitment, it was all so high and so energetic.
Yeah, I think sometimes the thing is with Sanchez is that you've almost got to hold him back, haven't you? He's so enthusiastic, he's so determined to play that sometimes in the modern day, I think you've got to rest players and actually stop them from themselves, if you like, really. And Sanchez has just got that infectious enthusiasm. I think he's really coming into form now. He wants to play in every single game, which is absolutely wonderful quality to have. And he just inspires, and I think he lifts all those around him, which is brilliant to see.
Well, let's hear a little bit of the boss's view on Alexis's performance on the day.
For me, it took him a while to get mentally into the game, you know, and he's a fighter, he's a winner, and he always can deliver something special. He has a short back lift, he's quick to close down, and he has been exceptional, I agree.
Well, Arsene Wenger also gushing with praise for Alexis, and no wonder, John. Do you feel he's at the absolute peak of his powers now? And if so, contractually, we're at a very important time, aren't we? And I wonder what that could mean.
Yeah, I do think there's a bit of negotiating to be done. And while he scores every goal with every moment of that performance, probably you can have another zero. That's the reality of it, isn't it, really? What I think he's taken a step forward is his adjustment from playing wide left of attack into a central forward. And I think he just creates absolutely everything at the moment. He's just taken to that role very, very quickly. I had my doubts at first at the start of the season whether he could do that. It's more like a Luis Suarez sort of role at the moment, isn't it? He's really sort of non-stop energy and work rate, movement, pace, and he creates openings for others as well as taking goals, which is the beauty of it. So I think to that end, he's adapted and improved as a player. So I do think he's at the peak of his powers.
I'll tell you what, another guy who caught the eye, maybe not quite as much, but certainly played well, was Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, also on the score sheet, and he's been speaking after the final whistle to us as well.
Yeah, obviously we know we're good on the counter, and I think especially in the second half, the game opened up in that way, and it let us, you know, break, and Meza and Alexis are always the first people that, you know, are turning and going in behind, and, you know, and then the likes of myself and Theo, we can, you know, we try and keep up with them and go around the outside and get up to them and support. And we did that in the end, and we had a few opportunities that we missed. I think I had a few as well that I missed, and it could have been more. But in the end, you know, it was convincing. I think when they scored the goal, it sort of kicked us back into life a bit, and we went and, you know, we were a bit more clinical and we finished the game off.
The Ox there, Crossy, and a guy taking his chances of late, particularly with Iwobi not in the starting 11 at the moment and just getting a bit more of an opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's really good to see, actually. I think I've been sort of refreshed by that. I mean, it's difficult always. It's a natural instinct to give man of the match, I think, whenever someone scores a hat-trick. But actually, Alex Costanza made a really strong pitch himself to kind of take the bottle of champagne, didn't he? I think he tried to grab it from the TV interview afterwards as well, which was amusing to see. I like that champion. I think he's such a talent. He's got power, he's got pace, so much potential. He's obviously trying to find, I think, you know, he's weighing the team a little bit. I think Arsene Wenger was saying last week it's going to be a big end of the season for him. And I do think that's the challenge in front of him. I think he's got the world at his feet, really, Alex. I think he can sort of play wide right. He can play central. He can play from the left. I think Arsene Wenger still harbours a vision that he'll play more inside and play as a central player in the long-term future. So I do think it's interesting, whenever he gets the opportunity to drift inside, as he often did on Saturday, a much more adaptable, versatile role, then I think he sort of kind of shows his best qualities there, because he's got a nice range of passes, fantastic pace, and a lot of power to go with it, and a rasping shot, of course, as well.
And John, you think of the depth of this wider Arsenal squad. Is this the deepest you've ever known it? And would you rate Alexis as the most important player in that squad? Obviously, Ozil is still close.
Yeah, I think because the striker scores goals, I think it's the obvious one to make. I still think that there's an Ozil connection beating. Because I just think he's a joy to watch. Sometimes you just go to an Arsenal game, and even if the game's not the greatest, Ozil will do something during that game. Like, you know, a nutmeg here, a nutmeg there, or something, you know, put the unlock a defence with a wonderful pass. And I still think that Ozil makes a very, very strong case. I think it's a good squad. I think it's a good, deep squad. I don't think you can possibly compare the current squad to that of, say, for example, the Invincibles, who I do think had backup and options in every single department. They didn't have the greatest numbers, and perhaps they've not got the numbers of now, but I think they had quality, they had depth, they had strength, experience, and they also had definite different alternatives which were real match winners. So I do think the Invincibles, for me, I still think is the best Arsenal squad in the Wenger era.
John, you look at the title race and obviously Arsenal looking well set back up to second, not much between them and the top, and just with a little edge now on one or two of their other main rivals. How do you feel that's looking? And also, you're only allowed one, I stress one. Who do you think will be the Gunners' biggest title challenger as we head into the second part of the season?
Well, I think the biggest title challenger would definitely be Chelsea. They've surprised me in the way that they've come on. And I know Arsenal fans will quickly jump on that and say, oh, yeah, we've beaten them. The Emirates, which is absolutely true, but since then they've reinvented themselves, haven't they, in terms of tactics, in terms of formation. Conte's an outstanding coach. I do think that it's going to be a very interesting title race. I still think that Chelsea will be the main threats, as I say. I do think that that little pack behind, in terms of Manchester City and Liverpool, might be, even be something sort of sleeping up on the rails. That, in a way, is a good thing. Because actually, if everyone is sort of in that mix and everyone ends up beating each other, then I do think that has opened the door for a sort of kind of a late surge, if you like, really. So that's sort of, you know, massive advantage perhaps for Arsenal if they can sneak in and take advantage when others slip up, or indeed when others beat each other in the title race.
She'd mentioned, obviously, this Tuesday, John, it's an important one, isn't it? The Basel game with Arsenal through, we know that, to the knockout stage of the Champions League again. But will they finish second? Probably. How do you think they'll treat this night?
Well, I do think they'll be resting rotate a little bit, actually. I think bearing in mind that they spoke on Saturday, I think that's the natural inclination. And I think that Arsene Wenger has actually changed the team, I think, to, you know, through the European rounds. I think he almost has to be resigned somewhat to finish in second. I think what in previous years first gets you is a pardon from kind of any criticism as much as anything, because it's still a bit of a lottery. But I do think that normally you reduce your risks of getting a big gun if you finish first, because all the other big teams, normally you'd expect them to win their group. I think the difference this year is you look through the groups and it's remarkable to see kind of the mix of teams going into the final sort of section who could still finish, you know, second place, whether it be sort of Bayern Munich, Madrid, or it is absolutely bizarre this year. So I do think actually for once, I think it might be to Arsenal's advantage to finish second and then sort of kind of see who they get. They'll probably come back to haunt me when I say that and they still get a big gun in the draw, following this last round. But I do think it's very interesting sort of times ahead. But I do think that Arsenal played well in this competition. But I do think PSG really were the better team at the Emirates and could have won that game, which of course they drew 2-2. But I don't think it's perhaps the end of the world as such, but I would expect Arsenal to put on a strong performance and perhaps get a positive result in Basel. But they're in confidence and form at the moment.
John, sounds good to me. As I let you go, my friend, two quick fire questions for you. Who is your gut reaction that Arsenal will draw in the Champions League, and what league position will they be in come New Year's Day?
I think they'll be second New Year's Day, and that won't be too badly at all. Thank you very much. Take that. I'd say Bayern Munich, but I don't think they can.
No.
So they normally get that. So if they don't get Bayern, they'll probably get Barcelona.
We will see. John, as ever, my friend, brilliant to have you on the Arsenal Weekly podcast, and your views are very much appreciated.
Thank you.
Rising young goalkeeper Emi Martinez has put pen to paper on a new long-term deal to keep him at Arsenal. The Argentinian spoke to Arsenal.com about his pride in extending his stay with the club.
It feels amazing, to be honest. I've been here for 6-7 years already. I have this opportunity to sign a new deal. It's a great achievement for me and for my family. I'm very grateful and I hope I can be here for many, many years.
The boss has been very complimentary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
About you, we asked him about you and your new deal. He said he's got all the qualities that a goalkeeper needs and you are the future goalkeeper of this club. That's pretty great words from a manager like Arsene Wenger.
We all know the boss is one of the best managers in the world. For him to say that about me is very nice, to be honest. He's been looking after my career since I'm 16, 17. It's been such a big influence for me, and I'm very, very grateful.
Like you say, you've been here quite a long time now. What does Arsenal mean to you?
It means everything. I grew up here. I learned English in UK. I got everything in UK. I love this club. I want to be the number one for this club for so many years. And I think this is a big step for me. Signing a new deal for Arsenal, training every day with big goalies, big players. I feel one of them now. So I really want to reach the top level.
You say you've sort of grown up here in the UK. How do you think you've changed both on and off the pitch?
Arsenal is not just about a football club, it's a family. Yeah, you grow up as a man, as a player. It teaches you how to develop, like I said, not just as a player, as a man. So I feel like I'm a grown man now, and I have to say thanks to this club, to the goalkeeper coach, not just Jerry Payton, I would say Tony Roberts, Lee Smell, now Sal. They'll be looking after me day by day, and I'm very grateful.
Like you mentioned, you're working with some pretty great goalkeepers as well, Petr Cech, David Ospina. How much are you learning off them?
You learn every day of them. Obviously, Pete played the Premier League, so you can see Pete every day in training, and what he does in the game is very nice to see. David, when he comes in the Champions League, he play like the way he plays, because we all fight. That's why I choose to be in this club. Everyone fight for their position, and it's a very nice competition, to be honest. They're great men, they're great people, they're all working hard, and that's why we all push forward.
Very exciting future for you, but what does it hold? What are your aims? What do you hope to be?
I want to be the number one for this club. Since I signed for this club, Jerry said, like, you're a great talented, you're the future. I think this moment is now. I'm trying to push forward. The boss is giving me the League Cup. I'm trying to show myself, show the fans, show everyone how good I am. Every day in training, it's not just about playing well in a game. It's about being the first one to arrive, the last one to leave, and one of them. That's why my future is here.
And it's Adams, put through by Bold! Would you believe it? or Charlie George who can hit them. Oh, a great goal!
It's up for grabs now! Thomas! Right at the end!
On December the 10th, 2011, Arsenal celebrated the club's 125th anniversary. The Emirates Stadium crowd was treated to a host of legendary players prior to kick-off, and the current crop made sure the day was perfect by beating Everton by a goal to nil, all thanks to a truly stunning Robin van Persie volley.
It'd be interesting to see who comes on, you know, who they replace when they come on. But, you know, I think it's needed at the moment. Good ball, here's van Persie. What a shot! What a goal that was! Sheer quality for Robin van Persie, fanned by Son. What a goal on Arsenal's 125th anniversary. And Thierry Henry applauds him. Brilliant goal. That's a really difficult skill, and he's made it look easy. Look at that. One chance in the game he's really had, and that's absolutely breathtaking finish, that is. That is fantastic.
We'll have another history lesson for you next week, but now it's time to look ahead to Stoke's visit to Emirates Stadium in the Premier League this coming weekend with Adrian Clark.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
So we're at the Chalkboard with Adrian Clark. Clarky, looking good? Everything good?
Yeah, all is well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, when you've just beaten West Ham 5-1, life feels OK.
I concur. That's a good way to look at it. Glass very much half full. Now, obviously, a brilliant hat-trick from Alexis in that match, as we've been discussing on the podcast already. Tell me about your favourite Arsenal hat-trick. That is our question on the Chalkboard.
Yeah, it's such a tricky one because there have been some corkers down the years. This has got to be up there. I think that one from Alexis, it has to be one of the best Premier League hat-tricks. It has to be in terms of the quality of the finishing. But yeah, no, my all-time fave is actually a four-goal salvo from Andre Arshavin at Anfield. It just put such a smile on my face. I remember it clearly. I was dating the now Mrs. Clark, the lovely Kate, and it was quite early stages, and I remember taking her to the pub to watch the game, and she had not much interest in it, but Andre Arshavin was so good that night that she, even by the end of it, she was beaming from ear to ear. It was a really good evening for Arsenal, and particularly from him. Classic hat trick.
So he effectively played matchmaker by facilitating the evening.
Kind of.
So from there, good job it wasn't a Stoke game potentially. No, didn't go there. Stoke. This is an interesting challenge, isn't it? Because they're a team who've really come on. I know we seem to be saying this for a while, that they're a team that's evolved their play, their style, their personnel, but that seems to have continued.
Mark Hughes is a good manager. He's solid. He knows exactly what he's doing in the Premier League. They had an awful start. They were poor in the first few weeks, but they've recovered really well. He's just made one or two tweaks to his team, changed their system in recent games. They've gone to three at the back, which is interesting. They're very fashionable, of course, to go with three at the back. But no, they play good football now. They've got talented match winners. They're organised. So this is not going to be an easy game. They've only conceded. Did you know this? I only found this out today when I looked back at their recent results. They've not conceded more than one goal in a Premier League game for 9 straight matches, wow. Stoke City. So it's one goal or clean sheet for 9 straight games in the league. That tells you that they're very well organised. It's not going to be an easy game.
And you consider all the injuries they've had and people dropping in and out of their back four and goalkeeper as well. Mm. They've been through a fair different number of personnel, which makes this all the more impressive at times.
Big time. Jack Butland, it was their main man, wasn't he, really? And he's not played. But Grant has come in and has surprised everybody. He's been a revelation, really. He's had some outstanding games. He's very agile, good reflexes. So he's come in and done well. Shawcross is out at the moment. He's normally the rock. I've got to be honest, I've never been a massive Shawcross fan. I don't think he's as mobile as you need to be. And I think it's working really well with Martinez at the heart of their defence. I think they've got Muniesa one side at the moment and Glenn Johnson at the other. And it's working just fine for them. So look, they won't be easily broken down in this game.
And you look at the rest of their potential, particularly in attack and in midfield. What would you single out there?
Oh, well, they've got good players, haven't they? They've got Shaqiri and Arnautovic are the key men. I mean, everything seems to go through them. Charlie Adams come back into the team. I think he's a strength and a weakness for them, because if you leave him to have a shot with his left peg, that is dangerous. That is risky. He's got a hammer left foot, but he's slow. He is so slow. I think he's one of the slowest players in the division. So while we need to be mindful of his ability on the ball, off it, runners, get runners around Charlie Adam, make him chase here, there and everywhere, we could be in business.
So what would you say would be a realistic league finish for a team like Stoke from here? They're ninth at the moment, aren't they?
I think they would be happy with ninth. I think that's about right. The last few seasons they've been top half, haven't they? Yeah, I would say 8th, 9th, 10th is standard now for Stoke City, which is shows how far they've come, really.
And confident not to panic in those first few weeks. There wasn't really even a sniff, really, of Hughes' job being under threat, was there?
Nah, I don't think there should be. He knows what he's doing. You can't buy experience. And he's very diligent. He trains his players hard. I know that. I've spoken to players down the years that have worked with him. He's tough. So they're super fit. He's organised. He likes to encourage a nice blend of football. I think he wants his team to pass, but they'd also mix it. We know here at Arsenal that Stoke like to mix it. And even though it's not a Pulis team anymore, they'll be physical.
So you look at Arsenal's approach to playing Stoke. Yeah. We'll talk about what of your specific key battlegrounds in a moment, but just broadly, how difficult will that be?
Well, we're on home turf. It's our game to win. We're going to be in the ascendancy, you would imagine. So it's all, for me at the moment, it's all about fast starts. We saw it at West Ham. It worked. We got 1-0. It took a while to build on that lead, obviously. But no, it's all about tempo, speed of thought, sharpness early on. I think if we put Stoke on the back foot and stretch play like we did against West Ham, I love the way that we moved the ball quickly from one side of the pitch to the other, getting down the sides. We do that against Stoke. I can't see them being able to hold us out to a clean sheet or one goal again. I think this record should be broken in this game by Arsenal.
OK, so what is then your key head-to-head? What is your key battleground?
It has got to be the man in... Well, I say the man in form. The big man in form is Alexis. We know that. But the other guy in form at the moment for me is Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. OK, his final ball wasn't always perfect against West Ham, but you can see the confidence surging through his veins at the moment. I'm liking him on the left. And when I look at Stoke, if they remain unchanged, wing back was Diouf, who's a forward, and right centre back was Glenn Johnson. Now, for me, neither are great defenders. So get the ball to Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, get him running at those guys, and hopefully he'll have another field day.
And in a sentence, how do you beat Stoke?
I think at the moment, to beat Stoke, you get tight to Shaqiri and Arnautovic. You do not give them the time or space to create anything, because 90% of all the good things they do come through that pair. Shackle them, our quality should be good enough to take the 3 points.
Thanks for your thoughts on that. And quite dappily dressed today, I think, responding
makes
to some of the abuse he's received in that regard in recent weeks. Coming into the studio, very smart, it is the Arsenal Weekly podcast editor. It's Liam Roberts.
I'm still reeling from Adrian Clarke's seduction technique, hearing all about that.
I must say, that was pretty much a one and only football-related date.
A pub and Andrei Arshavin.
I know.
And they're still together with children.
So, last week, asked you how many saves Petacek would make in the match at the weekend. Russ, you went for...
I think I got a bit carried away. I went 8.
I think you were thinking of West Ham last season, weren't
yes,
you?
Yes,
yes. Yeah. AD, you went for 5. It was only 2.
Yeah.
So toothless, I think we say West Ham were at the weekend.
Yeah.
You were talking about how Stoke have evolved and how they get a bit more possession. So we're going to go for a possession split this week.
Okay, so we're level pegging, right?
It's 11-0.
Yeah, 11-0, yeah, right. Happy days, that's good.
You still haven't been ahead all season, have you?
No, no. It's just, you don't want to peak too soon. I think Stoke will have a fair bit of the ball. West Ham had more of the ball, didn't they, than Arsenal, and we spanked them 5-1. So goes to show that we don't need to boss possession. Actually, I think the less possession we have, it might help us in this game. That said, I think we'll just shade it. I'm going to go for 51.5% possession for Arsenal.
Very specific.
Details, I like.
Very specific. Yeah. I will say 54.
Okay,
I'm not going to say 52, because that would just be a bit boring.
I think 54 is a fair effort. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, your tactics are evolving the same way that that the Stoke Arsenal possession is. So, good luck, lads, and we'll see who goes ahead next week.
Yeah, bring it on.
And of course, Clarkey, I believe, in the commentary box as we look forward to Tuesday night in that big game against Basel.
Yeah, can't wait for it.
Well, Well, that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Emmy Martinez, to John Cross, and of course to Adrian Clarke for their contributions today. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, leaving us a 5-star review in the process. You can find us on Acast as well, so you'll never miss another episode. We're back on Monday, the 12th of December, and until then, it's bye for now, and come on, you Gunners!
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.